this is where strength training comes in. Like, this is the reason why we lift weights. Sure, aesthetically, it looks great. But the whole reason behind it is so that we don't break our bodies as we age. Because as we age, our bones get more brittle. We slip and fall because our equilibrium's off. By having that muscle, you're stronger. Your core will be stronger. So if you slip on the ice, you're not going to flip over and break your back. You're able to like carry your groceries in. Like, this is why we do these things, right? And the reason why, you know, muscles get pulled out or get strained and afraid of getting hurt is because we're not strong enough.
Welcome to This is Perimenopause, the podcast where we delve into the transformative journey of perimenopause and beyond. I'm one of your hosts, Mikkel.
And I'm your other host, Michelle. And we know firsthand how confusing, overwhelming, and downright lonely this phase of life can be.
Join us as we share real life stories and expert advice to help you navigate this journey and advocate for your best health.
We used to think menopause signaled an end, but really, it's just the beginning. Welcome to a discussion that could change the way you handle stress. And that's why we're thrilled to have this conversation today with Carrie Holman. Carrie is an expert in stress-reduced fat loss. She specializes in supporting women who struggle with low energy, unexplained weight gain, poor sleep, and generally feeling uncomfortable in their skin. I'm guessing many of us can relate. As a personal trainer who's navigated the challenges of perimenopause, Carrie emphasizes deeply with her clients. She's here to explain how stress impacts the body and can worsen perimenopause symptoms. Plus, she's sharing her top strategies for making life easier to help you regain control of your stress so that you can feel amazing again. Welcome to the show, Carrie. We're thrilled to have you with us. Hey, welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
We haven't met face to face, but I'm Michelle and you know Amy very well.
Yes.
And then this is Mikkel.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Mikkel.
Mikkel is in Alberta. Well, she's actually in Toronto right now, but she's normally in Alberta. And then Carrie, as you know, Mikkel's done some research on you, so she knows all about you. But what do you want to know about Mikkel before we start?
Well, how did you guys start this podcast together? What did it come from?
Commiseration, largely. Michelle and I and another very close friend, we met in university at Wilfrid Laurier and have been friends ever since. And we were, I think it was summer of 2020, and Michelle and I were bitterly complaining about perimenopause and how challenging it had been for us to date and how there was so little information and we couldn't find a doctor who would help. And our friend Jill said, well, we can do something about that. And here we are.
Nice.
So Carrie, can you please tell us about your career and how you came to be a stress-reduced fat loss practitioner? And what does this certification mean?
Sure. So I will start with how I became that, like my path to that. So let's rewind a couple years. I was personal trainer and fitness instructor for many years, where I met Amy. And I then went from that to owning the gym that I was working at. So it was Fitness 360 for Women. I owned that for about 8 years. And during COVID, I was closed and sitting by myself in the gym. And I was pondering, you know, my clients and the women that I was working with and going, there's just something like over the years that have been nagging at me about why aren't these women getting the results that I want and they want? Like they're happy because they have more energy and they're working out. But I was like, I want a transformation. How do I get that? So I had met some gentlemen in 2016 that did stress-reduced fat loss, and they then decided to do a mentorship to teach people their protocols. Mm. So I jumped right on it. So stress-reduced fat loss is basically working with your body to reduce the stress so weight can leave. And it's holistic. So working with our body, working with our food, our movement, outside, supplements if needed, right? And then couple years after I got that, I was still at the gym, still closed, still sitting there by myself. And then my lease was up. So I decided to close the gym and go exclusively online. And I was super scared because I had no idea what I was doing. And ended up with a coach that taught me how to build my online program. And here we are today.
Carrie, in your experience, what are some common misconceptions about weight gain and fat loss during perimenopause?
The common misconceptions is that you can't lose weight during menopause, perimenopause.
Really? Because it feels that way to me. Yeah.
It's a total misconception. The problem is that a lot of women are just, we're taught a certain way when we're 20 and when we're 30, and from our parents and our grandparents. So let's just say our mom and our grandmas, right? The way they did things is not what we need to do. So it's a relearning phase at when we hit perimenopause, and it could be any time. Like there's a big span of when perimenopause can hit. So the misconception is that, oh, during this time, I'm just going to feel lousy. I'm going to gain weight around my stomach and it's going to suck. And that's wrong. So that's what I'm trying to educate on. But I have had so many people come to me and they're like, I went to my doctor and they said, oh, you're 44. Good luck trying to get that off. Like these are words that the doctors have said to them.
That's cruel.
I know. And they're like, it's just menopause. You just have to deal with it. And I'm like, that's not true though. Yeah. Like, and the problem is they just don't know. They haven't been, there's not enough education for doctors on women's health. So the other misconception is going to your doctor for weight loss help. They can't help you.
Well, I don't think they also have a lot of nutrition education as well, right?
No. I think in their, I read somewhere that in their 8 years of schooling, they might get 8 weeks of nutrition, and it's literally by the old food pyramid.
Well, and 4 hours of menopause. So,
yeah.
But yes, I like, as I understand it, they're still going by guidelines from back in the day when they were trying to promote, when the cereal companies were trying to promote us to all eat their, you know, sugary grains.
And yes, that's what, yes, these are good for you. Yes. Eat this cereal and you'll like, you know, you think of the slogans like Tony the Tiger, like what energy are you getting from sugary Frosted Flakes?
Nothing. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the link between stress and weight gain, because I think that is, we know stress is bad for us, but I don't think many of us understand the correlation between stress and weight gain, particularly in perimenopause and beyond.
So stress is the main driver of weight. And the reason is that when you, let's paint a picture here. So you're in the jungle and you're being chased by a tiger, right? Your body is going to go into fight or flight and it's going to like take off to get away from this tiger. That's a stress response, a natural stress response. Your body is like keeping you safe. That's what its job is to do. That's what cortisol's job is to do. Then that tiger goes away or you get away. The stress response goes away. We all go back to normal. La, 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 la. So fun. What's happening now is with our work schedules, our life schedules, things that are going on inside of us, our bodies are in this constant state of stress, feeling like we're being chased by a tiger. So if you have gut imbalances or if you have hormone imbalances or if you have work stress or if you have inflammation, your body doesn't know the difference between a tiger and gut stress. So it's just going to put you in this chronic state of stress. And then when you're in a chronic state of stress, your body is not thinking of digestion. It's not thinking of releasing weight. It's literally thinking of keeping you safe. That's the only job that it has. So when your body is stressed, what happens is everything you eat, everything you do or don't do is kind of like stored in the fat cells. And unfortunately, those go around your midsection. And that's why everyone in perimenopause goes, I have this spare tire all of a sudden. Because belly fat and cortisol are related.
And then with that belly fat, many of us become more prone to type 2 diabetes. Yes, no?
Yeah. And like type 2 diabetes, then we get into like insulin resistance. But with the stress, this is the thing is like stress, it gets compounded with everything we do. So if you are insulin resistant and your body's stressed, but you keep eating things that are bothering your insulin, your stress is going to stay high as well. So you're going to accumulate fat on your body. And then women go, oh my gosh, I need to eat less, or I need to stop eating fats, or I need to go work out more. And this is actually causing more stress on their body. So what we were taught before, this eat less, exercise more model, is causing more stress.
So we're fucked.
No.
You've got the answer.
No, we're not.
No, okay. So I do want to hear all about how we can reduce and get our stress under control. But before we go there, you said a couple things that pinged for me. You talked a bit about gut imbalances and gut stress. How does our gut health impact our weight and our stress? And how is it all connected?
Okay. So if your gut is imbalanced, if you have any sort of dysbiosis in your gut, it's going to be causing stress to your body because it's not functioning properly. So if you've got gut imbalances that are year after year after year going untreated, this is causing stress, stress, stress. So gut imbalances could be anything from like you rely on coffee to go to the bathroom every morning, or you think it's normal to only go to the bathroom poo once a day or even like once a week, right? It could be that you go to the bathroom 1,000 times a day, but it's all loose. Like there's different variations. A lot of the times I hear people talk about the belly. Like I feel like I have a bloated belly all the time, or it's hard and to touch. Those are gut imbalances. So if you have a chronic stress, you probably have some form of gut dysbiosis. So they go hand in hand. Mm. Not very often do I have someone that has a high stress, like dysregulated cortisol, because it could be high or low, right? That doesn't have some form of gut problems. So they are hand in hand.
Can we touch on why, like what it was about the intense or extreme or large amount of exercise that was making it worse?
So when we exercise, our body produces cortisol, which is good. We all need cortisol, right? But if you have dysregulated cortisol, where you are like in burnout or you're in exhaustive phase, which are two areas of cortisol that are hard to get out of, your body is like burnt out, it's done. Like it's like shutting everything down, right? If you go and exercise, like do a spin class and go like burn 400 calories, if you go do a HIIT class or if you go for a run, right? These are all things that are increasing your cortisol. But if your cortisol is already up here, you're just adding more to it. You're not making the situation better. The best thing that someone could have taught me, now, would I have listened? I don't know, but would have been slow down and go for a walk. Because walking, I need the cardio. My body needed the cardio, but I didn't need as intense as I was going. And I was the like sweat till you die person. Like if my clothes weren't wet, right, Amy? Like I was like wet. I had to be soaked. Like that was my thing. And I made my classes that way. And now I feel terrible because I was teaching these women that were like the wrong way to do it. But I wasn't educated on it either.
Well, nobody knew back then, right? Like cardio has a really bad rap these days.
We've been hearing and reading that intense cardio is not as beneficial as we all once thought. Can you tell us about what healthy cardio looks like and maybe in particular what kind of walking we should be doing?
Sure. So walking, there's two different ways to walk. So, and it sounds silly, but there's that like nature walk, like take your dog, go sniffing. I have a 16-week-old puppy. We don't walk very fast. That's more of like a decompression walk for him and for me, right? We're outside in nature. We're getting the benefits of the fresh air. We're moving our body a little bit. Then there's the kind where you go for an intentional walk. That's, you know, 20, 30 minutes, whatever you can do. You maybe like in the winter, you might start off cold, but you warm up at the end. You're able to have a conversation with your partner if you're walking with somebody. We don't need that high intense cardio. I was a spin instructor for years and I'd be like, go, 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 right? We don't need that. We just need to walk and both are good. High, like the faster pace walking, right? Where you get your heart rate up a little bit and that decompression nature walk. We need both of those.
You've mentioned low cortisol. And whenever I think of cortisol dysregulation, I always think it's high. So does low cortisol have the same effects on our body, the same negative impact as high cortisol, or what does it do?
So you can be in a state where you've got low cortisol, and there's a state where you have high cortisol. And sometimes people, they wake up with super low cortisol and wonder, why can't I get out of bed? Well, it's because your body's not producing that cortisol that gets you out of bed. And then some people are like, I'm so wired at night. Like I'm so tired, but I can't go to bed. It's because your cortisol levels are too high at night.
So Carrie, wow. What can women do then to get their stress under control and their cortisol?
Drink your water. Most women are dehydrated, which is causing stress on their body. So if you don't drink enough water, have a drink. If you don't drink enough water, then that's causing stress on your body. The rule of thumb is half of your body weight in ounces of water per day. So if you're 200 pounds, It's 100 ounces of water every day. It's just a really good rule to stick to. Two would be eat more food, but like real food. So let's get away from packaged food. There's a misconception, I think I said it earlier, of eating less. And we've been told that our entire life because Weight Watchers and our moms were like dieting queens, right?
Oh my God. My mother was always like, oh, Michelle, are you going to eat that? Like, I think you should put that down. Like I lived since about 10, like I was under strict supervision of what I could put into my mouth.
Yeah. So that programming has taught you, oh, I can't eat that much. Right. But when we get to be this age, we've probably depleted our nutrients so much that this is why we're in the state that we're in. So the way I teach my women are 3 meals and 2 snacks every day. And some people go, oh my gosh, like, oh, how am I going to fit that all in? Right. But what we have to do is get your body working like a well-oiled machine. So for the blood sugar, you start low and you want to even it out. Right. And then drop off by the end of the night. Let's say you wake up and you don't eat breakfast. Your cortisol, like your blood sugar is staying low. And then you eat something and it's usually a coffee. It's not food. And you go whoop. And then you were like, oh, I don't have time. And then you don't eat lunch and it goes whoop all the way back down. And then all of a sudden at night, it goes all the way back up because one, you're starving. And so you eat everything in the house, namely crackers, bread, cookies, all that stuff that's going to give you that quick hit of dopamine and like energy. And then you continue until you go to bed, right? Because you haven't eaten all day. What we want is to even out that blood sugar. Like look at one ingredient foods. And if you look at a box and you don't know what something is, don't eat it because your body probably doesn't know what it is either. So one ingredient foods, drink your water and move your body, like walk, right? Just get up. Smartwatches, right? Mine tells me when I've been sitting too long. So I get up and walk around my house or whatever. And I have a big thing where I like to hit my goals every day. So I always try and aim for 10,000 steps a day. So that either equals like an hour of walking total. So I split mine up with 2 30-minute walks. One is always outside. It's rain or shine, snow or sleet. I'm outside because I need that for myself. I need the fresh air and I just need that movement and to like de-stress. And I find the fresh air is the best place to do that. So those would be the top three. And they sound so simple, right? It's not like I'm saying you have to do blah, blah, blah. It's you just go back to basics. There's a whole bunch of layers on top of that. But like for a starting point, this is where we would start.
I love that because it's easy and it's something, it doesn't cost any money and it's not overwhelming to implement. Cause I feel like so many, you know, you go online and what should I do? And it's like layers and layers and steps and it's a lot.
Yeah. Like we overcomplicate life. Like that's just it. We overcomplicate things. So when you look at it and go, she's telling me to drink water, move my body and eat one ingredient foods. Like, really? That sounds like a scam. And it's like, no, it's not. It's just, we're not used to it. We're used to so complicating, right? Only eat fruit before 2 or like don't have carbs before bed or make sure when you have protein, it's blah, blah, blah. Like all these rules, like just eat. That's all.
I love it.
Yeah. Eat good food.
Yeah. Eat good food. Yeah.
So Carrie, it sounds like if women can get their stress under control, that's the key to get their weight under control. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say that cortisol is a driving factor. Now, having said that, like it depends on the state of the cortisol, which phase of cortisol you're in, and then what gut imbalances you have. But there's like layers to it as well. So the starting point would be the things that I just mentioned. And do those for 3 months and then see what you feel like. Are you sleeping better? Are you pooping better? Is your energy better? Can you wake up without snoozing in the morning? Right? Do you sleep all night? Like how many women don't sleep all night? And it's mostly because our body's under stress and going, whoop, wake up.
So would it be fair then to say it's not really about getting it? Managing stress is important, but it's not about getting the stressors in your life under control. It's about understanding how you're inadvertently creating stress in your body because you're not drinking enough water, you're not eating enough food and enough of the right kind of food. And the third, and you're not getting enough movement in your day.
Yeah. And there's the thing is, we can control the stress that happens inside our body. Like, that's the stuff we can control. So that's the stuff we work on getting under control, because you can't control what happens at your kid's school. You can't control what happens like at work. That's external stress. That's always going to be there. And that's where like the stress response comes. It comes and then it goes away. But when your insides are chronically stressed, this stuff out here is 1,000 times worse, because it's like doubling up, right? So if we can get the insides healthy, the outside stuff won't be as traumatic on our body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Building resilience, really, right? Like making ourselves healthy and having the foundation to be able to withstand, not so much withstand, but I think, you know, something that I think disappears for a lot of women in perimenopause is their coping skills, right? Because they're hitting peak life mm-hmm. stress, their hormones are doing wonky, crazy things. And I know that I've felt over the last, God, what is it now, Michelle? Like a freaking decade at least. I'm like, what is wrong with me? This used to be water off a duck's back. This should not be as big a deal as it feels like. And yet, yeah, I rationally know that, but I just, you know, don't have the coping skills I once did. I do. It's coming back again, because now that I know what's going on and I know what the triggers are and I know how to better take care of my health in this stage of life, my old self is resurfacing. But yeah, the not being able to cope is a big thing. And we're fueling that fire, sadly, every day without realizing it when we don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's because we've been taught a certain way, or social media or media alone, like they're just selling us crap, and we're feeding into it. Like Starbucks, when they do the red cup day, I'm like, no. And I see everyone on my social media, oh my God, I woke up at 3 a.m. to get in line. And I'm like, no, don't. Like, first of all, you're disrupting your sleep. Then you're going to buy like a sugar-filled drink that's going to like throw everything off, things like that, right? That's the things that we need to like, okay, it sounds cool, but meh, it's probably not the best for me.
Clearly, I'm not on social media enough. What is the Red Cup Day?
Okay, I don't know if it's called Red Cup Day. My daughter's a big Starbucks person, and they have new cups come out every so often, but then they have a limited supply.
Like a collector cup? Like you can hang on to it? Okay.
So my house is full of them. And I actually told her the last time, you're not allowed. Like, I'm done with
one
the cups.
One in, one out.
Throw one out or throw 10 of them out. Like, but they're like collector's items. And then they're like special time, like limited time only and things like that. And people want the cup. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. My goodness. I'm old. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Carrie, I've heard that for women in their 40s or in perimenopause, that we should be doing strength training. And yet, strength training is a stressor on our body. That's essentially how we're building the muscle. So why is that strength, like, why is that stress okay when I'm supposed to be just, you know, reducing the stress in my life?
Yeah, good question. It's a different kind of stress.
Okay.
So as we age, we lose muscle mass. And when we lose muscle mass, it's a stressor on our body.
Oh,
because we're like, so it's a catch 22, right? Women love cardio. It's just a thing. I don't know why. We just love our cardio. And then we always think, and another misconception is, if you lift weights, you're going to look like a man, right? You can't look like a man unless you take some like steroids or like something to enhance those muscles. It's just not possible. And so building the strength, yes, it's a stressor, but it's a different stressor to your body that's not going to affect your cortisol the way cardio or high intensity exercise will do.
So it's like good stress.
Yeah, it's good stress because it's not high intense.
That sounds intense to me. Amy's worked out with me recently. She knows how heavy I quote unquote lift, and it's not a lot.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing. So my question would be, why? Like, why don't you want to lift heavy?
I don't want to hurt my shoulders. I just like, I think that's the biggest part is I don't like hurting too much the next day.
Okay. So if you don't want to hurt your shoulders by not lifting heavy, you're probably going to fall and hurt them because they're not going to be strong. Okay. Right. So sure. This whole thing of like, you know, I don't want to get old and be in a retirement home or sorry, a nursing home. I don't want to break a hip. This is where strength training comes in. Like, this is the reason why we lift weights. Sure. Aesthetically, it looks great. But the whole reason behind it is so that we don't break our bodies as we age, because as we age, our bones get more brittle. We slip and fall because our equilibrium's off. And you, by having that muscle, you're stronger. Your core will be stronger. So if you slip on the ice, you're not going to flip over and break your back. You're able to like carry your groceries in. Like, this is why we do these things, right? And the reason why, you know, muscles get pulled out or get strained and afraid of getting hurt is because we're not strong enough. So I would encourage you to lift those heavier weights, put away the 8 pounds. We don't need 8 pounds anymore and go a little heavier. And that muscle soreness that you feel after lifting a heavier weight is good, right? Like, it's good. And you're not going to feel it every time. It's just going to be like once in a while.
Okay. Okay.
Carrie, so for listeners who don't lift weights or they're lifting 5 pounds, 8 pounds, what is the path to safely getting to be able to lift heavier weights? And what, you know, for the, I don't know if you can generalize this, but for the average woman in perimenopause, what should be a goal? Like, so it's not 8 pounds. So what should we be lifting and how?
So that is very individualized. A good rule of thumb is, let's say you're doing, like, it depends on the program that you're doing, but let's just go with the number 10. So you're going to do 10 reps of an exercise. If you're doing 10 bicep curls and you get to 10 and you're like, woo, and that was like super easy, and you're like, meh, like what now, right? Or if you're like, you know, like you can't get to 10 and you're struggling, that's great, because then you know that you're at the right weight.
So you should be tired at the end of the 10 reps.
You should be tired and you should actually fail. Oh. Like, strength training is one of those ones that it's okay to fail. So if your goal is 10 and you only get to 5, that's okay.
Oh, I like these new parameters.
Yeah, like, this is a hard thing for women to wrap their head around, right? Like, I have many women that are like fixated on the number and they're like, I got to get to 10. I'm going to go lower. I'm like, no, just get to where you can. Like, I would rather you lift it heavier where your body is like, I can't do this. That's going to build the muscle. That's what's going to make you strong.
Because I've always thought I'd rather do 15 reps at a lower weight than 10. Oh, okay.
No, so change that idea in your head for sure. Because it's another misconception. It's something that we've been taught along the way as women.
For someone who's not done this approach before, it would be important to maybe hire a trainer for a couple of sessions or join a class, because you also do run the risk of hurting yourself.
Yes. So definitely hire a trainer if you're brand new to this. And try and get one that's your age. So it's very, you know, like, a lot of trainers are in their 20s. I mean, I was there, right? They don't understand. Unless they are educated on women's health over 40, they're not going to understand. And they're probably going to like do the boot camp style. A class is good. If you're going to attend a class, I would go to the instructor and specifically say you're new. When people used to come and say that to me, I would focus more on them. And my wording would be more centered to them than to Molly, who was here every day.
I like that.
That's what I would suggest. But definitely go with some instruction. Even doing YouTube videos, if you don't really know what you're doing, that could cause injury. Because yeah, there's different ways. Like, you could be standing all wrong. You could be deadlifts. Oh my gosh. Like, doing a deadlift, if you do it wrong.
I've yet to figure out how to do those properly.
Yeah, there's a way for sure.
Carrie, what is a stress-reduced fat loss practitioner?
Okay, so there is, like, there's nutritionists, there's people that can take you through like a meal plan. There's like, I'm trying to think of the name of like what I'm thinking of, but like, if you hire a coach and they're like taking you through macros, let's say, okay, they're going to take you through a program that's like, you know, this is your weight, this is how much protein you should have, this is how many carbs, but then you have to fit it into your day. Okay. that's one way of doing it. But what that doesn't do is focus on the stress on the body. So my whole work, everything I do is stress reducing. So I don't calorie count. I don't macro count. I log food because I need to, like my clients need to log food because I need to see what they're eating. If you're eating garbage food, it's going to add stress to your body. So everything in my program is related to stress. So instead of like we were talking about the hardest workout, go, 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 because you need to burn it off. We don't actually. Like, our bodies need that nutrients, and most women aren't getting enough food and calories anyway. So if we go and we burn it off, you're actually adding more stress to your body because there's way low calorie deficit, but then you're going to eat all the wrong foods because you're hungry and all that kind of stuff. And this is what is missing. And this is why when women do intermittent fasting or Weight Watchers or keto, why weight usually ends up coming back on, because they haven't addressed the stress that's in and on their body.
And also they've been depriving themselves. And so when they start to eat normally again, because most of those diets aren't sustainable, again, you're like, okay, I remember this and I need to store it because she was going without it for so long.
Yes. Yes. And oftentimes when women are dieting and restricting, once they start eating normal again, they're eating more inflammatory foods. They're eating more of the foods that they were deprived of because their bodies are like, think about if you don't eat for a day, you want just anything to fill that void. And it's like, well, I missed those calories yesterday, so I can load up on them today. That's what we want to avoid because that causes a lot of stress. So my son just got his wisdom teeth out and I took a picture, big chubby cheeks. And I was like, this is a great indication of what inflammation is. So he didn't gain 15 pounds in his mouth. This is all just swelling. And that's what's happening inside your body. And when your body is inflamed, it's stressed out and your body is trying to save you and keep you safe. So if we're constantly eating these inflammatory foods, we're constantly stressed, our body's constantly trying to save us, and then the whole thing we just talked about.
So you take them out for a while, and then do they get to slowly add them back in, or is that like forever and always gone?
So it doesn't mean that you can't ever have them. What I teach is a lifestyle. So for instance, right now it's almost Easter. And I said to my group, what are some things that you're wanting to have this week that I can help change the recipe for? So some people are like, oh, we usually have cinnamon buns or dressing, right? How to make these things inflammatory free. So I'll give them a recipe. So it doesn't mean you can't have the thing. You just have to make it differently. I have chocolate every day, but I make my own. But it's like coconut oil, cocoa powder, and whatever else I said, almond butter. Right? Like, and then you freeze it and it's like this deliciousness. It's just a new way of thinking. It's not like you have to give it up. It's just a different way of looking at things.
Okay.
And then a lot of people are like, oh, but I can't give up my chips. Well, let's get the inflammation out of your body. Right? So let's say we remove it for 3 months, get it out of your body. And I'll say to you, what are you missing the most? And oftentimes it's wine or it's chocolate or it's chips. So sure, have that thing. But I want you to report back to me how you felt. And I've had a client, wine was her thing. So she had wine and she's like, oh my gosh, I didn't sleep last night. I was bloated. I felt terrible. She's like, oh my gosh, I felt like this every day and had no idea. Mm. So then going forward, once her body had healed, she chose when she was going to have it. So it was like, I know I'm going to sleep terrible if I have this. So maybe I'll have one glass, but I also am going to make sure I eat my meals that day and have anti-inflammatory foods, like things like that. For me, dairy's a no, an absolute no. But gluten, I can have it and be okay once in a while. But we have to heal the body first before we get to that point. So is it going to be, can I go back to having a Subway sandwich every day? Probably not, because you're probably just going to end up with inflammation.
Diarrhea and all kinds of grossness.
Carrie, where do you land on alcohol consumption?
It's not good. Like, it's not. It's, and I know I get lots of haters for this, and people are like, it's one of those things that like they see my reel that says something about alcohol and it's like swipe. Like, I don't want to know what you have to say about it.
I don't want to hear it.
Alcohol is an inflammatory food. it is a toxin that's entering your body. Okay. So lots of women, and I'm going to get all fired up here. So a lot of women say, I just need my glass of wine every night to unwind, or I need my glass of wine Friday night, or my wine nights with my girls to unwind. It's literally doing the exact opposite of what you think it's doing, because we've been marketed to that this is a thing to relax. But what it's actually doing is throwing your hormones out of balance. It's causing inflammation in your body, which increases the stress. You can't sleep, which increases the stress. Your appetite goes to shit, so you increase stress. And it's just this bad cycle. Alcohol takes like 2 weeks to get out of your system. So even if you're like, oh, I only drink on the weekends, you're still inflaming your body, and there's no time to heal. So my take on it is it's bad, right? Like, it's bad. It's a toxin. It's a chemical you're putting in your body. Like, would you drink bleach? No. I gave up alcohol like 12 years ago, and it was one of those things where I drank it because I wanted to have fun with my friends. And I remember waking up one morning, and exercise-aholic over here, right? I couldn't work out. I couldn't get out of bed. I was sick. I felt terrible. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done. Like, I would rather have a good day than be on the couch for one night of fun. I can still have fun. I don't need to drink. So I've been very strong in my conviction ever since then on myself.
Carrie, we actually have a podcast coming up about sober curiosity.
Mm.
So that'll be tie in nicely to this conversation.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And I got it right, Mikkel. Not alcohol curiosity. I said today something about alcohol curiosity. She's like, maybe I'll ask those questions.
Yeah, I know you're alcohol curious. That's not the right thing.
My son is alcohol curious.
People don't get it. Like, people don't get that you don't drink. And it's like, no, how do you drink? Like, that's my angle of like, how do you?
Mikkel doesn't really drink either.
No, same. Yeah. It just no longer was worth it.
Now you too. No, I'm just kidding.
Now we'll just, I'm not talking about me. Carrie, can you tell us a little bit about your program, Balanced Bodies?
Yes, absolutely. The program is designed with women in perimenopause in mind. So it brings all of my protocols from stress reduced fat loss, and I walk through step by step how to make these lifestyle changes. If someone signed up today, tomorrow, their life's not going to be overhauled. I'm going to do it step by step to ease the stress, right? Because that's the whole idea of it. But I'm going to teach you how to build out this lifestyle to make it lasting. There's work to it. Like anything, we're overhauling probably years and years of misconceptions, myths that you've been taught. So there's a lot of things that we have to work through, a lot of layers that we have to go through. So there's one-on-one coaching, there's group coaching. I bring guests in to help like bring on that message, because sometimes just listening to me is a lot. But I use my method of the 3R method. So reset, recharge, and rebalance. And that's like the whole basis of my program. What we're missing is balance in our body. Because with all of the inflammation and all of the stress and hormones out of whack and eating this or not eating that, we've been out of balance. So my whole protocols bring you back into balance, and then you just feel so much better. This stage of life is always evolving. It's always changing. So just be like, what I teach is for now, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to go on to do more later on. It doesn't mean that you can stop doing what I've taught you. Because like anything, if you stop doing it, you're going to revert back. So my program is 3, 6, or 12 months. My preferred is 6 to 12 months, because the longer you're held accountable, the longer you're in it, the longer you're surrounded by people who are doing the same thing and you feel connected to, the better you're going to be in the long run. And when we're talking about habits that have been ingrained for 20 years, we need time to get through that. So I have a community of support. Women are in there. They're all going through the same thing. And they just help each other, right? There's recipe sharing. There's guys, I don't know how to get to bed earlier. What do you guys do? Or, you know, any kind of question. So we like to be with people that are like-minded. And sometimes our friends aren't those people. They're friends that do other things with us. But if we're on a health journey where, you know, you don't feel good when you wake up in the morning, I want to be with other people that feel the same and are actually doing the work and getting better so I can see that happening.
That's amazing. It sounds like an amazing community.
Yeah, I love it.
Carrie, what's the one thing you want every woman to know about perimenopause?
Doesn't have to suck. Like, it doesn't. We just need to learn a new way of living in this body. And, you know, I grew up hearing menopause sucks, so just wait till you get to menopause and all this stuff. And I was like, why though? Like, can I just help myself through this? So a lot of it is like just debunking the myths that we've been taught for so long. And unfortunately, you're going to have to go somewhere other than your general practitioner. And you'll have to get support from someone who's been trained on women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, because it's a whole different ballgame than just eat from the food pyramid.
Can you start the Balanced Bodies program anytime, Carrie?
Yes. I honestly don't believe in, yeah, that's awesome that you want to get started. My next cohort is in 6 weeks from now. When a woman is ready, they're ready. Like, they want to do it right now. They've reached out, they've raised their hand. They're like, I'm in distress or I don't feel good. I want to start. So I have like ongoing enrollment. So whenever that person's ready, they're ready. So we start at any time. So in the program, there are people at different stages, which is amazing as well, because they can help the newbies that are like, oh my gosh, what do I put in my coffee if I can't put cream and sugar? And then people are like, oh, I was like that too. And I tried this, give this a try. So I really like how there's people at different stages, because they end up helping and pulling along the new ones. And then the new ones give the old ones perspective of how far they've come. So I really like having the good balance of people in there. So yeah, anytime.
Oh, that's cool.
Carrie, thank you so much. This has been really fun, and we're excited to share this with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I love the idea of this podcast. I think it's wonderful. We need to spread the word on perimenopause. So you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you for helping us. Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you like what you hear, please take a moment to rate and subscribe to our podcast. When you do this, it helps to raise our podcast profile so more women can find us and get a little better understanding of what to expect in perimenopause.
We also read all the reviews, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to help us continuously improve our show. We would love to hear from you. You can connect with us through the podcast, on social media, or through our website. Our information, as well as links and details from our conversation today, can be found in the show notes. This podcast is for general information only. It's designed to educate, inspire, and support you on your personal journey through perimenopause. The information and opinions on this podcast are not intended to be a substitution for primary care, diagnosis, or treatment. The information on this podcast does not replace professional healthcare advice. The use of the information discussed is at the sole discretion of the listener. If you are suffering from symptoms or have questions, please consult a qualified healthcare practitioner.